Mrs. Kamenetsky spoke about predicting what each person is going to talk about. So if you've been here before, so then this, I think, is the fifth year, the fourth year I'm talking about this year. But I will continue my crusade, year in, year out, to Mechazek Halel Nirtza. That Nirtza should not be swept into the dustbin of Leil HaSeder. It should be, if the Seder runs right, in my opinion, if the Seder runs right, Nirtza should be the highlight at the end. It should be a culmination of one's emotions and feelings and perspective and relationship with Hashem. That is an overpouring of simcha and love that comes through song and sharing. So I want to jump right into Halel Nirtza. Obviously, I'm aware that many people are not interested in hearing a vort at 12 o'clock at night at the end of the Seder. So just as a perspective, these are things that could be shared, certainly in the middle of Halel. There is nothing worse than the entire family reaching a crescendo in the singing of Halel, and then someone says, excuse me, I have a comment to say on this piece of Halel. So that is a buzzkill, and no one wants that. But at least to share it beforehand, to think about as you say the words, a perspective, to make those last few minutes of the Seder something that is uplifting, and really the highlight at the end of the evening. So I try again, as always, we'll try not to repeat anything. You can always go back and listen to parts 1 through 4 and chazer everything together, but hopefully some new different perspectives on Halel and Nirtza. We begin in Halel saying in the second part of Halel, Ahavti ki yishma Hashem es koli tachnunai, that I love Hashem because He listens to my supplications. There's a beautiful comment in the Ava Shalom. The Ava Shalom in Parshas Bishalah is Rav Menachem Mendel of Kosov, who's the founder of the Kosov Chassidus. And he writes that we love that Hashem listens to our tefillos. Ahavti ki yishma Hashem, Hashem, we love it that you listen to what we're saying. But it's not just that He listens, but that He pays attention. The next line is, ki hita ozno li, that Hashem bends His ear to me. It's one thing that a person listens to, but it's another when your friend leans in and really pays attention to what's going on and is giving you all the time in the world. Hashem is the best listener. He doesn't interrupt. He doesn't cut you off. He's not ready to start the next response while you're finishing your statement. Hashem is the best listener. He leans in and wants to hear everything you have to say. And that's why we say, Ki Yitaz No Li. He looks at our tefillos, our halal. Even though on the surface, perhaps, we don't have all the greatest kavan in the world. And maybe we're not thinking about all the deepest ideas while we're saying halal. But Hashem hears us sing halal by the Seder with our family. And He leans in. And He pulls out those deep ideas. Maybe they're not on the surface, but He digs deep inside of our halal. And He bends His ear a little closer to hear all those beautiful things we have to say to Him and all those praises we want to send forth to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's certainly something to think about as we open up halal at that time. La'osen niflos gedolos levado ki li'olam chasto. That Hashem does amazing, amazing things because His chesed is forever. This year I had the beautiful opportunity to go through the entirety of the Haggadah of Zalman Zaratskin, who was one of the great, great Gedolim of pre-war and post-war Europe in Eretz Yisrael. And his Haggadah is beautiful. It is really a one-of-a-kind work. Sometimes it gets pushed along with all the new Haggadahs and the shinier Haggadahs, but it's good to go back to a classic. It is in Hebrew, but if you wanted to hear the English of a lot of the stuff that was translated into English, I recommend looking at the art scroll, Haggadah of the Rosh Yeshiva, Volume 3. They have many of the translations of his stuff over there, and he really has very contemporary, beautiful ideas that are very much on point. And in Halel, he is a beautiful and amazing as well. The Haggadah Shirva HaShavach Rosalman Zaratskin, the author of the famed Ozaim LaTorah. So he notes that this line, La'os Niflos Gedolos Levado, is in the wrong place. When you say Niflos Gedolos, we're talking about splitting seas, man falling from heaven, amazing, amazing miracles that are mind-blowing, stuff that really jumps us and jolts us out of bed and really gets us going in the morning. That's where this should be talking about. But instead, where does this line go in this parak of Halel? It's talking about that Hashem made the heavens and the earth and the waters and the cosmos. I hear we saw a picture of a black hole today, right? That was in the news. So whatever it is, there's the basic stuff, the science, it's already there, the mundane stuff. That's Niflos Gedolos, says Rav Zalman Zaratskin, that should be shoved to the end of the paragraph where we talk about the Yam Suf and the Mun and all the incredible stuff. Why is Niflos Gedolos talking about that the sun comes up and the birds chirp and yada yada? What's with that? So Zalman Zarotzim says that's exactly what it is. We need to train ourselves to realize that when the sun comes up in the morning, when you're sitting with your family at a Seder table, and everyone is healthy and everyone has a job, that is also Niflos Gadolos. That is a great miracle. And that's an incredible thing to be thankful for. We have to train our eyes to look at all of the things in the world, not just the huge, amazing things that get our attention, but also little things are also Niflos Gadolos. And that certainly is an important part of the Seder, to take the idea that Hashem reveals Himself to the world, splits the sea, sends 10 Makos, but that was just Hashem's calling card. That was Hashem saying hello. But the rest of the time Hashem is there as well. And those are also Niflos Gadolos at the same time. This certainly connects to probably the most famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, that all of the miracles, all of the open miracles really speak to the smaller miracles. The Ramban famously says, whoever doesn't believe that everything in the world is a miracle, ein lo chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu, has no portion in the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. This happens to connect as well to a beautiful idea of Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk in the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma is always Kodesh Kadashim. Every single piece Rav Meir Simcha writes is fantastic. I am a firm believer that if everybody knew more Meshech Chachma, the world would be a much, much better place. Every single thing Rav Meir Simcha says is fantastic. So here he is no different. In Bereishis and Parakeh, he has a beautiful understanding of Ashrei. He says that there's a person who's totally davik to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he sees Kavod Hashem in every aspect of the Bria. Such a person who sees Hashem in every single thing doesn't need miracles. For this person we say, V'chasidecha yivarchucha kavod malchuscha yomeru. For your chasidim, those who are righteous, so they bless Hashem all the time. They see Hashem in all aspects of the world. For regular people who don't notice all these things in the world, therefore these people, they're miraculous and astounding events. And this is why we continue. Lahodia livnei adam gvurosav uchvod hadar malchuso. For bnei adam, for the regular people, they're miracles, because we need our attention to be focused. And therefore Hashem does outstanding miracles. And that's for the regular person. For the regular person, there needs to be gvurosav. The Meshech Chachma writes as well in Vayikra that noticing Hashem in the Teva is the highest level. And therefore a person who says Ashrei three times a day is a Ben Olam Haba. Why? Because a person who says Ashrei three times a day and gets the message that Hashem is everywhere and Hashem provides for everything, that person's on the way to Olam Haba. That person is already on the right track and doing the right thing. Let's turn now towards Nirtza itself. Chasal Sidur Pesach, that we've now come to the conclusion, says Rav Moshe Mordechai Bitterman, the Rebbe of Lulav, the Lulav of Rebbe, writes in the Haggadah Shal Pesach Birchas Moshe, how come only when it comes to this mitzvah of Eilel HaSeder do we have a whole declaration, Kasher Zakinu L'Sadir Oso, Kenizka L'Asoso, just as we prepared it, we should be Zocha to do it? Do we say that by the Sukkah? We walk out of the Sukkah, do we say, Joe, we tried this in the Sukkah, so we hope it worked out. And we come to Shavuos, we try to stay up all night, so we hope to work out. What's with Pesach? Pesach has a special little declaration, Kasher Zakinu L'Sadir Oso, Kenizka L'Asoso. So we should do it in the future. What's going on over here? So he says, by other Yovim Tovim, there are other mitzvahs to fulfill even without the Beis HaMikdash. You can wave a sukkah, you can wave a lulav, and you can sit in a sukkah, and you can learn Torah on Shavuos, and you can blow the shofar, and you can do all those things. But what is Pesach without the Korban Pesach? We're missing everything. We think we're having a Geshmak Seder, but it's really nothing compared to the real thing. We're not in Yerushalayim, there's no Beis HaMikdash, we're not eating roasted meat, we're not sitting there the way it should be in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim at its proper time. And therefore, we say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kasher Zachinu L'Sader Oso, it's a tefillah for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Just like we were Zocha now, we should hopefully be Zocha to do it in the right way next year in Yerushalayim, totally rebuilt. But let's go a little bit deeper into that. I saw a beautiful idea from a Rav Yaakov Unsdorfer. He is a Rebbe in Yeshivas Reishis Chachma in Montreal. And he writes in a beautiful piece. He says, he heard in the name of the Rebbe of Belz, the Belz of Rebbe, who explained the Pasuk in Tehillim as follows. Tzamalacha nafshi kamalacha bisari, that my Hashem, my soul thirsts for you. I want more. I want to be closer to Hashem. Kain b'kodesh chasisecha, and it should be so too when I'm in the Kodesh, when I see you in the holiest place. Sometimes, he says, a person prepares for an opportunity. and they get ready, and they make sure everything is done properly, and they're wearing the right outfit, and they make sure everything is quiet, everything is focused, and you prepare for the meeting, or for the event, or for the simcha, whatever it is, and you hope that all of that preparation, the fire, and the bren, and the excitement that went into that preparation for that simcha, should be as great as enjoying the simcha itself. You have people, they prepare 6-7 months for a chasna, effort and time and sweat and blood and tears, literally and figuratively sometimes, to get to the chasna, and you would hope that the same effort and simcha they took to prepare for the bar mitzvah and the wedding should go into the enjoyment and the ruchnius of the event itself. And that's what we hope for. And especially when it comes to a mitzvah, we have peeled potatoes and we have check lettuce. And we have got the table ready and the seder ready. And we've come to a shir to prepare for the Haggadah. And we've learned the halachos of Pesach. And we've done whatever we can. We put in all the effort and the excitement for the seder. And we get there. And we hope, we say to Hashem, that it should be kenizka lasoso. That's what it says over there by David HaMelech. Saman elcha nafshi kam elcha besari. Hashem, I hope, I'm thirsty that it should work out. Kain bekodesh chazizecha. That when I'm standing in the Kodesh and I see Hashem, I should have that same feeling when I'm standing before Kodesh Baruch Hu. When we're performing the mitzvah on Leil HaSeder, please Hashem, I put so much time in. I should have the same spirituality in the days leading up and the excitement and the preparation. At that moment, as I sit here at the end of the Seder with my family and friends, I want to be on that level where I'm connected and I'm feeling it and I'm excited and I'm plugged into the way things should supposed to be at that time. Let's turn now to the piyutim. The singing, personally for me and my family, it is the highlight of the Seder. You come together, you sing the songs everybody's familiar with, the tunes you grew up with that you pass down to your children, and it really is the culmination of what you hope everything should and will be. The Lakutei Chaver Ben Chaim, the Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer, write, explaining the name of his Rebbe the Chassam Sofer, Yibana Beso Bekarov, Bimheira Bimheira, Biamena Bekarov, right? We sing it. Bimheira, bimheira, b'yameinu b'karov. So what are we singing? Bimheira, b'yameinu. Why twice, says the Chassam Sofer? So the Chassam Sofer said in the name of the Machatzis HaShekel, Rav Shmuel Lowy, who is the Rav of Baskowitz, who is a town in Europe, the Machatzis HaShekel is in the side of the Shulchan Aruch, and he said in his name, the Gemara in Gittin says that 1,000 years of our years in the eyes of Hashem like a day in our time. Meaning, for us to experience a day, that's what 1,000 years are like in the eyes of Hashem. That's the connection. Shabbos, 6 days a week, 6,000 years of creation. Mashiach coming out of Shabbos, the same idea. So the Machatzis HaShekel said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't want it Mehera. We don't want Mashiach just quickly in your eyes, 1,000 years. We want it Mehera, Mehera. We want it super quick, faster, because we're waiting so long for Mashiach. Mehera, Mehera, we want the Beis HaMikdash. Not just fast in your eyes, we plead to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we turn to the Piyut Uvechein Amartim Zevach Pesach. This is usually one that does not have a tune in most families, and therefore kind of gets mumbled through in a lot of different siddurim. But there is a lot going on here. Just I want to point out one idea that actually connects to the conduct and what's going on by Leil HaSeder on the second night. The Piyut says that the downfall of Haman was on Pesach. This is based on the Gemara in Megillat Hasvav that says that on the 13th of Nisan, the letters were sent out regarding the destruction of the Jews. They fasted on the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th. And on the afternoon of the 16th, Haman was hanged. So that means the second day of Pesach is when Haman was hanged. So many of the Haggadahs, or some of the Haggadahs, note a comment of the Shla, that the Shla said, and this is cited by the Magen Avraham in Siman Tov Tzadi Hei, that one should mark by Leil HaSeder the second night, by Leil HaSeder, if you have a second Seder, if not, just to make a Suda on its own, that this is the Suda to celebrate the hanging of Haman HaRasha. We should mark, we should make a note by the Seder by the second night, perhaps this is a good place to remark, and to make a note by the Seder, that this is the time when Haman was hanged, and we should remember that the Rasha was killed, and we were saved on that time by Pesach. Then we turn to Kilo Na'eh. There is a beautiful explanation to a very confusing series of statements. Most people don't understand when they say, L'cha, u'l'cha, l'cha, ki l'cha, l'cha, af l'cha. What are we saying over here? To you is to you is to you is to you? What's going on? So the Vilna Gaon had a Talmud. His name was Rav Menachem Mendel Mishklov. You perhaps know him better by the street named in Har Nof, Rehov Mishklov. It's not Mishklov. It's Rechov Mishklov. Rav Menachem Mendel from the town of Shklov. It's not Mishklov. It's no matter what the taxi driver tells you, it's Rechov Mishklov. So he had a student whose name was Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. And he is often called the Peh Shlishi of the Vilna Gaon, the third mouth of the Vilna Gaon, because he was so close to the students of the Vilna Gaon, it's as if he was by the Vilna Gaon, even though he was born, he was a little boy when the Vilna Gaon passed away. So Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver had a son, and his name was Rav Yosef Chaver. So Rav Yosef Chaver has a perush on the Megillah called Hagadosh al Pesach Zeroa Netuya. And he has a beautiful explanation to what's going on over here. He quite cites a medrash in the beginning of the Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis. The pasuk says in Tehillim, "Lecha yom af lecha, laila lecha." That day is yours and even night is yours. And the Medrash says, "Hayom mikales lecha, halaila mikales." The day praises you and the night praises you. "Mahayom birshusecha af halaila birshusecha." Just like the day is in your control, so too the night is in your control. "Bishah she'ata osalanu nisim bayom lecha yom." And you have miracles that are done during the day. "Ubishah she'ata osalanu nisim balaila af lecha laila." And we have miracles at night, the night is for you as well. "Bishah she'ata osalanu nisim bayom anu omrim lefanecha shira bayom." You do miracles during the day, we say shira during the day. And you do miracles at night, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say shira at night. In general, says Rav Yosef Chaver, we associate Ra with evening. It's dark, it's unclear, it's covered, it's not sure what's going to be. And Tov goes with the daytime. It's bright and sunny and cheerful, and that's how we associate generally good and bad in our mindset. But in reality, we know deep down inside that everything comes from Hashem and everything is good. We may not see it, but everything that comes from Hashem is good. And just like the apparently positive things in this world show your praise and glory, so too do the seemingly negative things in this world also show Hashem's presence and glory as well. Because everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We cannot state it enough. Everything is from Hashem. Therefore, we sing as follows. Lecha u'lecha. When the things are good and it's clearly lecha, so that's obviously lecha. You're there. But even at night, when things are not clear, when things appear as if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is hidden and he's not beside us and we don't know where to turn, lecha af lecha. To you, it's even you. It's also you. And therefore we sing, lecha u'lecha, lecha ki lecha, lecha af lecha. It's always you, Hashem. When things are bright and sunny and cheerful, and things are going the way you want it to go, and even when things are not going well, you have a flat tire, you're late for the meeting, and nobody wants to listen to you, and you can't take it anymore, lecha af lecha. It's also Hashem. The same Hashem who allowed you to turn on the car in the morning is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who made the car stop in the middle of the highway. It's the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same one who made the car run is the same one who made the car stop. And therefore we say, lecha af lecha. You, it's always you, no matter what's going on. Whether it's ki lecha, ulecha, or af lecha. Even you, it's always HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the world. Certainly, what a powerful idea to think about as we sing the song. All these praises of Hashem, whether it seems to be good in our eyes, or whether it seems to be not good in our eyes as well. We also note over here, yachid b'malucha, kabir kahalacha, limudav yomrulo. So, Pashup Shad in the line means that Hashem is unique. He's Yachid B'malucha. He's unique in the kingship. He's Kabir Kahalacha. He's perfectly powerful. And Limudav Yom Rulo, and his learned ones say to him, the rest of the stanza. The Yismach Moshe explains in his Hakdama to Navi that he said the following word by Ishal Shittis. He said that the Halacha in general is Yachid V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim, right? If I have a machlokas between many rabbis and some rabbis, so Halacha follows the majority. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are the Rabbim. We're the majority. And Hashem, you are Yachid B'miyuchad. You're one. You're alone. You're unique and special, but you're one. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we want to see Kavod Shemayim and the Beis HaMikdash and Mashiach, you have to bring a Mashiach, because we're the Rabbim and Halacha Karabim. If Klai Yisrael are demanding that Mashiach should come, the Beis HaMikdash should be built, so Halacha Karabim, the Halacha has to follow the majority. And this is an idea that Yismach Moshe would repeat at certain times, pleading for Hashem to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and bring us to Eretz Yisrael in the proper time. So, Rav Ben Sion of Bava, the Bava of a Rebbe, the two Bava of a Rebbe's ago, writes in the Kedushat Sion on this line in the Haggadah. He says, Yachid b'malucha, Hashem, you're one. You're the king of the world, you're one. But kabir kahalacha, the word kabir can mean the majority. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Ches says, how do we know? Minayin she'ena kadosh baruch hu moes b'tfilah shen shel rab. How do we know that Hashem doesn't hate the tefillah of the tzibur? When the tzibur comes together, Hashem will never reject our tefillahs. So the answer is a pasuk in Iyov. The pasuk says, hein kel kavir v'lo yimas, that Hashem is the powerful God and He despises no one. They put the comma in a different place. Hein kel, you're Hashem, kabir lo yimas. Kabir means, says the Gemara, the majority, the people, the tzibur. Hashem will never reject the kabir. He'll never reject the people. So he says, the word kabir means the tzibur, so let's go back in and read the line from the Haggadah. Yachid b'malucha, Hashem, you're one. But kabir kahalacha, the halacha follows the majority, Hashem. It's time during Mashiach. We're the majority. Limudav yomru lo. Those people are telling you, Hashem, that you have to bring it. You have to bring Mashiach because we're the majority. Hashem, we plead at the end of the Seder. We're sitting and there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Korban Pesach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please, it's time to bring Mashiach because this, we've done everything we can. We've pushed ourselves to our limit. Please, Hashem, bring it. Halacha karabim, the halacha follows the majority as well. When it comes to Echad Miyodea, we've discussed this at length. The popular question is, what is so special about number 9? All of the things in Echad Miyodea 1 through 13, they're all things that are uniquely Jewish. Hashem, the Imos and the Yavos, the Torah, everything is uniquely Jewish except for number 9. 9 months of carrying a child, non-Jews do it too. It's not just for the Jewish people. Non-Jews do it too. So this is a popular question. I came across a very interesting answer from Yitzhak Shmuel Schwartz in the Sichas Avos, and he says that during these 9 months, the child is in the place of Kedusha. The mother eats kosher food, making the child more kadosh and the rest of the world, and the child becomes holy in his involvement and being connected to his Jewish mother. And the Gemara tells us in Nida, the child is learning Torah in the stomach of the Malach, and therefore, the Mefarshim answer, no, it's not the same. A Jewish mother carrying a baby is not like a non-Jewish mother carrying a baby. A Jewish mother carrying a baby is being metaher the baby, they're learning Torah together, and it's a totally different environment. And therefore, it is different and special, something will be highlighted by Leil HaSeder. Let's turn now to Chag Gadja. Just as a preface, I think I've said this before, there is really only one great commentary on Chag Gadja, and that is the Parish of Rav Yosef Zechariah Stern, the Rav of Shevel, in his Hargadosh al Pesach Zecher Yehosef. That is Pashup Pshat. Everything else is just a parish. That is Pashup Pshat. I can't read the whole thing again right now, but Ayin Sham in the recordings, you can go there and hear it again. That is the Pashup Pshat in Chag Gadja. Everything else now we're going to say is icing on the cake, but the cake is by Rav Yosef Zechariah Stern. So, I wasn't sure what to do. I see we all have a little bit of time, so maybe we'll do two. We'll do one that's a little bit more in-depth, that's a classic, because I don't think we haven't said it over before, and then we'll do a new one that I came across recently. Let's discuss the Parish of the Gra on Chag Gadja. It is a classic one. Many Haggadahs, when they have nothing to say, they just bring the Parish of the Gra, because they have nothing to add to Chag Gadja, so they just use the Vilna Gaon's explanation. You can find this in many Haggadahs, but we'll give the Vilna Gaon's oversight of Chag Gadja. I want to point out a certain beautiful Mare Makom I didn't notice before in Chag Gadja in the Gra's Parish, and we'll develop that for a moment as well. The first Gedim, the first time we see Gedim, or these little sheep in Tanakh, is when we come across Yitzchak, who wanted to make Esav the Bechor and give him the Bracha, and he wanted to prepare the food that he would go catch in the field. Yaakov knew that this was not okay, and his mother helped him, and he came up with a plan to prepare his own two gedim in order to feed his father. This event took place on the first day of Pesach, Rashi El HaTorah. The events of the stealing of the Bechor by Yaakov occurred on the first day of Pesach. And Aviv, our father, Avin Dezabin Bitrei Zuzei, our father is Yaakov Avinu, who went and got those brachos for the spiritual benefits of the Jewish people, and therefore he needed to get the two goats for his father first. Yaakov wanted the gedi, but he only got one. He had to split it. Esav took the gashmias, and we are suffering to that to this day. And Yaakov took the ruchnias, and we benefit from that to this day. Yaakov gave the brachos and the bechorah to Yosef. The Gemara in Bava Kamma Get tells us that the Bechor gets to wear nicer clothing because he leads the family. And we know this led to fighting, jealousy amongst the brothers. The Gemara in Shabbos says, we learn from Yaakov Avinu not to favor your children because it will lead to your children being sold to slaves in Mitzrayim. Next time they're fighting, tell them that. The Gemara says, if you fight and you're jealous, you'll become slaves in Egypt. Hopefully that will work. So that idea that led to jealousy is found in the cat, because the cat is known to be a jealous animal. I don't own a cat, nor do I want to own a cat. But from what I am told, cats are jealous of their owners, of their territory. They do not get along well with other cats. We have a bit of a cat problem on my block, and we hear them fighting very often at night. So cats are known to be jealous animals, and therefore the brothers fighting are represented by the cats who came and sold Yosef down to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the dog. The Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim was the dog. They had statues that attacked the slaves who tried to escape that looked like dogs. And the Mitzrim attacked the Shvatim. The Medrash in Shmos, Rabbah says that Moshe came to Mitzrayim with his stick, which was used to hit Mitzrayim, that is compared to a dog, says the Medrash. The Medrash says, Moshe hit Paro like hitting a dog with a stick. Not that you should hit dogs with sticks, but the comparison of hitting him like he controlled him with his matzah. And he comes with his matzah, the sign of leadership. And this sign of leadership kept Bnei Yisrael going through the desert and through Chorban Bayis Rishon. It performed miracles in the Midbar, and the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash were in the zechus of the staff of Moshe. However, the fire of Avodah Zarah was burning very strong, and it ended up leading to the burning of the Beis HaMikdash and the burning of the staff, the end of the leadership. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuf Beis describes the famous story of Menashe, who was the worst king in the history of Klal Yisrael, who told one of the Amoraim in a dream that the Avodah Zarah was burning like a fire. It was uncontrollable. He didn't understand what it was like to worship Avodah Zarah. And therefore the fire of Avodah Zarah comes and ruins the leadership, the staff of the Jewish people. After the Chorban comes the water. The Torah is compared to water. And Chazal, the Anshei Knesset Gadola, come and daven that Hashem should take away the Avodah Zarah, the Yitzhara for Avodah Zarah. And it's removed from Klal Yisrael's Yitzhara, and the Torah and the Anshei Knesset Gadol set up Torah Shebaal Peh along with Torah Shebichsav together, and that water carries us through for many, many years. Comes the bull and drinks the water. Esav is the shore, according to the Tikkuni Zohar. This is Chorban Bayis Sheni that destroys Klal Yisrael. And the Shochet is Mashiach ben Yosef. We know that Yosef is the enemy of Esav. The Gemara in Bava Basra says, Ein Zaro shall Esav nimsar ela biyadei Zaro shall Yosef. That Esav will be handed over to Yosef. And when Mashiach ben Yosef comes, he will shecht the animal and make it kosher. And this is the inside of the Gra I never noticed before. And I read it again this time. We often quote and say that when Mashiach comes, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu is there at the end of the day, he's going to shecht the Yitzhara. We've heard this idea before. Yitzhara is going to be shecht, it's going to be slaughtered. No more Yitzhara. Says the Gra, it doesn't mean that we're going to kill the Yitzhara, it's not going to be no more Yitzhara. When you have an animal, are you allowed to go and take a bite out of a live cow? No, it's Avraham Menachai, it's usher to do such a thing. When you shecht an animal, you are metaher the animal. You make it holy. You raise it up in Kedusha. And therefore says the Gra, when Mashiach ben Yosef comes and we're going to shecht the Yitzhara, what it means is we're going to make the Yitzhara our friend. He's going to work for us. We're going to take all of those things the Yitzhara pushed us in the wrong direction, and we're going to push it in the right direction. We say, b'chol levavcha, with all of your hearts. There's two bezin in the word levavcha. You serve Hashem with the Yitzhar HaTov, your Yitzhara. That's what's going to be Mashiach comes. We're going to take all of that energy that came with the Yitzhara, and we're going to direct it in the manner of serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Navi and the Gemara in Sukkah say that the Malach HaMavis will come and kill Mashiach ben Yosef in the final battle. And then finally, Hashem will remove death in the days of Mashiach ben David. There will be no more death, and the Yitzhara and suffering will disappear. The Gemara in Bechoro says that the Sabe de Be'asuna, the wise men of Athens, ask Rabbi Yeshua, with what does one harvest a field of knives? How do you harvest a field made out of knives? So Rabbi Yeshua answered them, with the horn of a donkey. So they said to him, but there is such an item as the horn of a donkey? So Rabbi Yeshua said back to them, but there's such a thing as a field made of knives? End scene. So these Gemaras and Bechoros are very complicated. They're very silly conversations between Tanaim and Amorayim and the wise men of Athens. Each one could be a shir on its own. But says the Gra on this Gemara, that they were asking, how are the Jewish people going to come and possibly defeat Edom when they have the brach of Yitzchak, achar v'cha techya, that they live by the sword? The people in Athens said, we have a field of swords. How are you going to defeat us? We are powerful. We will crush you every single time. So the Chachamim answered that Mashiach will come on a donkey, and Mashiach is always described as the Keren, as we say in Shemoneh Esrei. So a donkey with a horn means a donkey who's being ridden by Mashiach, who's referred to as the Keren Mashiachecha. They're going to come and defeat you. So they answered back to them, there's no such thing as a donkey with a horn. So the Chachamim responded that just like a donkey with a horn is supernatural, so too the coming of Mashiach is supernatural and it will overcome whatever challenges you present before us. Hashem has ways to make things come through. Essentially, the lesson of the Vilna Gaon is that all of history comes from the brachos of Yaakov and Esau, and don't give up on Jewish history. When it seems lost, and it seems like it's the end, and we don't know what's going to be, out comes the donkey with the horn. From nowhere, it's supernatural, you can't understand it. And we look back and we say, it's been 100 years since the Churban, 500 years since the Churban, 1,000 years since the Churban, 1,500 years since the Churban, 2,000 years since the Churban. And we say, how is it going to be? It's a field of swords. What's going to be? And we say, Yaakov was promised by Yitzchak that he's going to win at the end of the day. And that Jewish history is always on our side. And even when it seems hopeless and we don't know what's going to be there, Hashem says, it's going to come through and it's going to be okay. And that's why we end the Seder with Chag Gadra. Because we sit here and we say, another year, sing Lashana Baba Yerushalayim, another Pesach Seder without the Korban Pesach, and comes Chag Gadra to remind us, it will be there. Hashem is going to be standing at the end of the day, Shechting the Yitzhara, making the world the way it's supposed to be at the last time. I have one more idea, but perhaps we'll save it for next year on Chag Gadra, but we'll end here. Everyone should be blessed with a beautiful Pesach Seder, an uplifting Pesach Seder, an inspirational Pesach Seder, and hopefully we should sit next year in Yerushalayim, preparing for Chag Gadra together, in Hervi Amenu Amen with the Beis HaMikdash.